welcome to another edition of the God is a Geek podcast. My name is Chris White, and E3 is almost over. Well, E3 is over, it's not almost over. It's kind of E3 blues because there's not a lot happening, but I'm joined with Calvin anyway, mate. How are you doing?
What is going on, Chris? Not bad, how are you?
Yeah, I'm alright, mate. I'm alright. As I was saying, I've kind of got the blues. I think with E3 all over, and it kind of showed a lot of good stuff, I think. I think there's a lot of good game announcements that it wasn't as good as past E3s, but it still showed like a lot was coming. I got excited by quite a bit of it, and now it's kind of over again. I just want these games to come out.
Yeah, it's that E3 come down, isn't it? You've had a week of just over excess of games news, and then bam, it's all done.
It was just constant. And I mean, some of my favourite things were like there's a few indie games that I really like the look of. Like, I don't know if you saw that trailer for 12 minutes from the Xbox conference.
I watched the whole conference, but remind me what the trailer was.
So 12 minutes was like a top down game that showed this man and his wife in their living room.
Deja vu one.
Yeah, and it kept skipping, and it's like a murder mystery time traveling thing. And like that, this by the I think it's being published by Annapurna, who've done quite a lot of decent games. They were behind they published What Remains of Edith Finch, stuff like that, so they've got quite a good reputation for these indie games, so I kind of like that. And then
that was intriguing because I thought that would make a really good TV series.
Week
they go back to the same thing happening, but they're attempting it in a different way. I don't know how that'll play as a game, though. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, and like the whole 12 minutes thing, I'm assuming you just play the same 12 minutes over and over again. With slight changes.
When you say it like that, it sounds incredibly boring, but I'm sure it's going to be much more interesting.
With that demo for PT, it kind of did a similar thing where you kept playing the same bit over and over again, but kept tweaking it so it was different every time. So I'm kind of hoping that it's not boring. Well, I mean, it's promising. Cyberpunk 2077 was one of the main highlights, and
it was, wasn't it? It was kind of, you can't say it's your game of the show because it wasn't really gameplay footage or anything. It was
but yeah, just kind of moment, because Keanu Reeves has always been a cool dude. He's always been like a people person, like a man of the people and all that. And then the fact he walks out and he was just so relaxed with it. So cool.
The whole hype around that was fantastic, to be honest.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it was ace. And we've got a release date, so that's coming out April next year, so that's good.
That's one that I've been thinking has been put off and put off and put off as well, because we've been watching it for a while. Obviously, they announced it before they even started working on it, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I thought it was going to be a long time coming, but it's nice to know it's coming quite soon.
Yeah.
And a sci-fi game from the guys that made The Witcher, I mean, what more could you ask for?
Oh, I know. I mean, the cyberpunk's in at the minute anyway with a lot of games, but they've got a good reputation. And like, just as you say, like the CD Projekt Red behind Witcher 3, and that was a phenomenal game. And it's going to be interesting to see how this one works, because it's first person, I believe.
Yes. So, cyberpunk is my genre, and first person is my favourite genre of game. So put them together with RPG as well. It's going to tick every box.
Yeah, it will. And I'm looking forward to see how kind of open... Like, I'm assuming... I mean, I'd love to kind of get a game like Fallout, in the sense that you can wander around the wasteland and you spend up to a couple of hours just investigating something and finding a completely individual story within a location you just went over to see what was there. Like, I hope there's like a lot to do. Or with Red Dead even, like, there's so much there that you just spend your life there. It's like a second life almost. So I'm hoping it's a nice, fleshed out game.
I'm thinking Deus Ex, but open world. Because I don't think there is a game like that, is there?
No, I don't think there is. And that would be perfect, because I mean, that's a classic game.
It is.
So that would be good. Gears 5 as well.
Yes.
You know.
So me and Adam mentioned this on the podcast as something that we were hoping was going to get announced properly, and there it was. Gears of War is one of my all-time favourite games.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. I mean, I only recently... I think it was last August when I was doing the 24-hour marathon thing. I played through the entirety of Gears 4 and I never played that one before. And like, it's just so much fun. It's just such a wholesome game. Like, it's got everything you want. And it's just so satisfying.
I've only just started playing Gears 4 myself. I've just got through the second chapter. But it's been on my pile of shame since it came out. Because I love Gears. It's one of my favourite franchises. But I used to play it with friends in co-op. And everyone's so busy these days. It's so hard to get people together for a co-op session, isn't it? So I just thought, let me just jump in.
Yeah, I don't blame you, man. I mean, Gears, the first Gears, that was my first ever online kind of experience where I just got my Xbox 360. Wipe my headset in, and there was like the waiting times were ridiculous back then. Like, you had the lobby and all, and it was just forever.
The lobby was a game in itself, though.
It was. And then I finally got online with this guy from Manchester. It was like playing Gears with Liam Gallagher. He had a proper like swagger in his accent. It was amazing. Like, yeah. So Gears has always been a good franchise for me, and that alone is enough reason to watch the Microsoft conference and be excited about. But then you got the Project Scarlet announcement, which was something else. Like, that to me just sounds ridiculous. Like the capabilities of that console and seeing how the future of gaming is going to look is, oh man, like, it's fascinating. Now, I think it said something about it's got the capabilities for 8K. Is that right?
Yeah, so I wrote a little piece on this because they announced that it's going to be an 8K console, and it's also going to have graphics of up to 120 frames per second.
Yeah, that's just nuts.
Which I call a bit bullshit on, because I don't think it's going to do both at the same time. It's one of these up to things, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is fair enough. It's going to probably have 8K graphics for your low performance games, and then your higher performance, your higher resource heavy games will probably have 4K with maybe 60 FPS, which would be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to what we've got at the moment, it's hard to get 60 FPS with 1080p.
Yeah.
Never mind 4K. So it's a bump. It's a bit of a jump there. We're chasing PC graphics, finally almost catching up now with the consoles versus PC.
Yeah.
And there's not going to be much in it for a lot of people unless you've got a really high spec computer.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, we'll switch over from Microsoft for a bit. And one of my other favorite announcements was Watch Dogs Legion. Well, I say announcements. It was announced earlier in a tweet via their Twitter account, but then we obviously got to see a lot more, and it sounds a very ambitious game in what it says it's going to do with the permadeath, but the fact that every character has got like a backstory and an origin mission that you play, and so like, and the fact that you can pick apparently anybody in London to join your rebellion, like, it sounds ambitious, but it sounds really good, and it looks a lot of fun as well. I don't know if you ever played Watch Dogs 2, but...
Mate, I love Watch Dogs. I'm a big fan of this. I think because it's one of those gambles that they made when they bought out a new IP, and you're like, oh, is it going to work? And I think it was fantastic from the first one.
Yeah.
But, you know, coming to London, and like you say, taking over any character with a bit of a backstory. I'm not putting too much emphasis on that, because you don't know, you know...
Exactly,
Let you take over anyone, how much of a backstory they're going to have. It's going to be cut and paste a little bit, but just having the free range there over the city is going to be cool anyway.
Yeah, it will. I mean, I've been in London, like, obviously I live in Derby up north, and I've spent quite a bit of time in London going to the preview events, so I'm getting to know it quite well, so it'd be nice for me to just see how realistic certain parts of it is. And obviously it can't recreate the whole city, but There's a lot there. Like there's like a gameplay trailer with Camden there, and obviously the main kind of landmarks. But it would be nice to see how they deal with the smaller areas of London, the different boroughs and stuff. But yeah,
I'm a real sucker for that, Chris. I love when there's a game set in the UK, just because it doesn't happen all that often, does it?
No. I mean, I can't even remember. I think it might have been The Getaway, Black Monday, which was
Assassin's Creed as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh man, that was ace. That was really cool. I love Syndicate. But yeah, no. Watch Dogs Legion looks amazing. That's coming out next year as well. What else do we have? The Avengers game.
Right, yes.
The Avengers game. So, I can't say anything until it comes out. And I don't want to criticize it at all, because it looks... Like, the gameplay looks good. but I just don't get the idea behind the aesthetics and the like. It looks like it's based on the Avengers, like the MCU, the franchise, because of the way the characters look. But also, they don't look anything like the characters. So I kind of wish they just, if you just want to, you want to look like the MCU, get them looking like that, or just stay with the comics, and you can do what the hell you want with them.
I'm completely with Mick on this in his article that, you know, they look like people cosplaying the characters. They don't look like the actual characters. It's bonkers. Yeah. I don't know why they didn't just pay for the license to get the likenesses of the actors.
It's, absolutely, yeah. I mean, even
with
if
Avengers being this big.
Exactly. And even if they didn't have the voice, you know, obviously it'd be a lot of money to get people like Chris Evans and Scarlett Johansson in. But yeah, at least have them look like it, because it seems like that's what they want to do. They want to recreate the MCU's Avengers, but they don't look anything like them. But I mean,
what a weird decision.
It is a weird decision. But I mean, as far as the game itself, it looks like it could be a lot of fun. It just depends how the game's structured. Like, is it going to be like a Left 4 Dead style game, or is it going to be like you can play through the game and then people can join you along the way, like Far Cry 5 or Ghost Recon or something like that? There's not a lot of information out about it, but you know that.
Well, I think this could be a big barrier of entry, though. I think if you think about the target audience is young kids, isn't it? And if you think about like Action Man and toys and stuff that kids have, there's always that kind of Chinese copy that you just don't quite want, and your parents might want to buy the cheaper. I think this is going to look like a cheap what's the word?
Cheap intimidation, imitation.
Imitation, that's the one.
There we are.
it's an intimidation, but yeah, it doesn't look right.
No, it doesn't.
So even if it plays well, it might put people off. So we'll have to see with that one.
Yeah. Are you a Star Wars fan?
Star Wars, yes. Yes.
Silly question, isn't it? We all work on a Geek website. I'm pretty sure 9/10 of us like Star Wars. But that guy, I mean, there's been a lot of kind of criticism about it online, as there always is with any game. But like they're moaning about the Fallen Order looking quite slow and linear, but I think it looks great.
See, that I don't mind either. I think we've got our open world games, we've got our Cyberpunk 2077, we've got these kind of things, but it's nice to have a linear experience as well sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah.
I just want to be driven through a story sometimes and not get lost in my own thing. It's different games for different moods, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think like you look at games like God of War recently, which was, you know, pretty linear, like, and that's absolutely fantastic. One of the best games of this generation. So it seems like this will go like the linear route, but I mean, we were looking at him in a corridor, so of course it's going to look linear. But the wall running, like, it's very Respawn, isn't it? Like they've kind of taken a lot from Titanfall and they've kind of put it in there. So,
and anyone who's a long time listener will know that that's one of my favourite developer teams as well. So I think it's going to be a fantastically built game.
Yeah, they've got a lot of great games under the belt and a lot of you know, history there. So and a whole franchise to play with, which is it could be excellent. And it's going to be nice to see how it factors into the story and stuff, because I think Battlefront 2 was good, but the story was quite short and there wasn't a lot to it. Whereas this is a full on, you know, single player Star Wars game, which a lot of fans have been crying out for a while. And after like the cancellation of EA's Star Wars game, you know, it was fronted by Amy Hennig, and you know, there was that Bounty Hunter game that got cancelled. So there's been a lot of kind of Star Wars games that have been cancelled. So it would be nice to kind of see one finally come to fruition.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's the difference, isn't it? Having a single-player experience. You've got your multiplayer. Battlefront is a really good game, but now we've got something a bit different as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't mind those other games being canned either. I think if they're not going to turn out to be amazing, don't bother releasing them. That's
exactly, good. Yeah. There's no point in trying if it's not working. We finally got a Star Wars game after people have been moaning about not having a Star Wars game, and then people are moaning about the Star Wars game. So.
Of course. People all moan about everything.
I know, yeah. But Nintendo had a pretty decent conference as well. And albeit everyone was expecting there to be a sequel to Breath of the Wild, I don't think people expected it to be announced so soon. And, you know, the trailer didn't give a lot away, and why would it? But I was excited. I got tingles. I think that trailer, like, very haunting, very dark. So it'd be interesting to see which kind of route they go with it.
Yeah, I think they were pleasing the fans all round, weren't they? In the Nintendo conference with Luigi's Mansion. For a modern console. And Animal Crossing, of course.
Yeah.
Big fan favourite. I'm not a fan of Animal Crossing. I don't think it's a real game. I know Adam will be cursing right now, but that's what it is.
Yeah. But Witcher 3 as well. Coming to Switch. Yeah, yeah. That's nuts. Like all DLC as well, and it's all going to be on one cartridge.
How will that one?
It'll be interested to see how that one works. But you know, I mean, I've not really played any of the. Like, I've not played Doom on there or anything like that, so I'm not sure. Or Skyrim, so I don't know how well they actually run. But they seem to look all right, and I've not heard many complaints about them. So hopefully, it'll run all right.
And to be honest, they have got that higher profile that developers can unlock, so I'm assuming they've given that to Witcher. It's a CD Projekt Red as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know how much of a FIFA fan you are.
I tend to play real games, mate, not football games.
Cheek of it. What's that about? Well, I'll only wax lyrical for a short while then. But the kind of... like FIFA at the minute... Like it's been going through transitions over the last 5 or 6 years where I've stuck with PES and then FIFA comes along and it's not quite as good, so I'll stay with PES for another year. And then like the last year's PES was dreadful, and then this kind of FIFA kind of was excellent. So I've not stopped playing it, and I'm playing it like every day almost. And the fact that the new FIFA has got an announced outdoor mode or whatever you want to call it, like street mode, like that harks back to the kind of FIFA street days. So that's what I'm quite excited about. But again, like the FIFA trailers, they're all kind of the same. They show four players.
Because the game's the same every bloody year.
Oh, hang on. Right.
Just give us a kit download. You don't need to release the game every year.
To be fair, last year they had some nice modes for like the just the kickoff mode, where you kind of got variables where you can only score from the half, only score from outside the box, or you can only score with volleys, or every time you scored, one of your players disappeared. But yeah,
sounds riveting, Chris.
I need Adam. But no, on the whole, E3 had a lot of good moments. So, is there anything you kind of wish you'd seen at E3 that wasn't there?
No, I wasn't disappointed at all. I think it really delivered. One of the ones we haven't mentioned that stuck out to me was Mojang's new game, Minecraft Dungeons.
Oh, yeah.
Take Minecraft, add a bit of Diablo. What more could you ask for? That looks really fun.
Yeah.
Completely different direction from them.
Yeah, and if it works like a Diablo game with the kind of RPG elements and the loot and stuff, it could be something really exciting.
It could, couldn't it? It could be massive.
I mean, did they announce a release date for that?
I don't think they did.
No, but
coming 2020, so it could be any time.
Yeah, that's fine. But the fact it's happening... is really cool. So obviously outside of E3 there's not lots going on, but I mean I was due to come on last week and talk about some review games, so I'll quickly go over those. So PSVR, anyone that kind of follows God Is a Geek know that we've kind of reviewed quite a few recently, and they seem to be getting better with every new release. The hardware itself is not the best VR out there, but it's certainly bringing some good games to it, like with Blood and Truth, which was recent, and Tetris Effect, and obviously Astrobot. A new game from the co-creator of Rick and Morty's come out called Trover Saves the Universe. So I don't know if you're a Rick and Morty fan at all.
Love it.
Brilliant. So I think with this game, the humour is very similar, and it's got that kind of... The way they talk to each other, there's a lot of ad-libbing you can tell, and the kind of the drunken ramblings, kind of like, and they're just constant talking. There's never room for a breath, but like it's so funny, and like the kind of best things about it are the NPCs that when you're wandering around and you see some guards and you don't do anything for a bit and you just listen to them talk. And they have full-blown conversations that you can just listen to for like 5-10 minutes. There's a hell of a lot of work gone into this script, and just outside the main story, like I say, just the talking between NPCs and stuff is excellent. And as it's not the most kind of diverse platformer, it's still a lot of fun. Like, you don't have... There's... a few different things you can do. So obviously you can walk around and you're basically this guy in a chair called a Chairopian. And it's like Astrobot, where you are like a computer behind the little bots. You're controlling Trover. And you can move him around like normal with a controller. And if he goes too far away, there are certain telepoint points that you can skip to get closer to him. And so you can get around quite well, quite easily. Mm-hmm. And then there's a certain skill you unlock very early on, which lets you kind of jump up. And so you can see further afield and you can see what threats are in the distance and that kind of thing. And you've got like simple attack buttons that advance like towards the end, but it's very basic throughout. But it's, I think, if you just want to play a PSVR game that's quite, you know, it's not too difficult to play and it's pretty straightforward, and you're kind of just playing it for the humor of Justin Roiland and the
you,
kind
you can
of,
tell it's Justin Roiland, can't you?
Absolutely. I mean,
the protagonist looks like a Meeseeks.
Yeah, he does. And like even he talks like Morty, like he right. sounds very similar. And then like the main villain sounds a lot like Rick, but it doesn't matter because you know it's great. And there are certain things because he obviously plays a lot of video games, which is reflected like throughout Rick and Morty. Like even VR, there's that episode where Morty plays that game of life, essentially, where he has a whole life.
Yeah,
and
I
it's just horrific. But like he knows what he's talking about, and he kind of craps on a lot of different video game tropes, where you get to this puzzle and it's like seven or eight buttons, and you have to press them in a certain order to get this door to unlock, and if you don't, then it won't work. So at one point he just goes, oh, do you know, screw this, let's just break the door down, why are we even bothering with this puzzle? And it's a lot of fourth wall meta breaking kind of stuff, and it's good, it's a lot of good, it's good fun. So I think if people like Rick and Morty, they'll get a lot out of it. I think if you're not, then I think the gameplay is too basic that you're probably gonna give up after a short while.
Wow.
It's very pretty, it's nice and colorful, a lot of fun. So yeah, that's Trover Saves the Universe. You can go and read the review on God Is a Geek.
Nice. Speaking of basic games, I've been playing Riverbond. I absolutely love this game.
Yeah,
have you seen it?
I've seen it. Yeah, I mean, I downloaded it on Game Pass. I've just not been able to play it yet.
Which is also amazing. Games Pass Ultimate, another thing that came out of E3. Just bam, here it is.
Oh man, that it's a fantastic idea. And I'm surprised it hasn't happened sooner, but it's finally here. So yeah. So yeah, Riverbond's on there. That got announced. Was that announced at E3, wasn't it?
I don't know when it was announced, but it was released to Games Pass during E3.
Yeah,
so that was I downloaded it after I got the Ultimate, which is just nice having PC and console all in one package, not having to worry about it. But yeah, jumped on that. It's such a beautiful little game.
Yeah,
it's just really wholesome, and I've missed that as well. And we have these proper photorealistic killing games, and it's nice to jump back to something a bit cartoony and friendly and just a bit of fun, isn't it?
It does look, it just looks nice and just happy and peaceful, something that doesn't really exist much anymore. So, but what's the kind of premise? Like, what's the gameplay like? Because it seems like it's an isometric.
It is. It's just a little adventure game, voxel based, and you've got a couple of puzzles per map and or mobs to kill, and you unlock different weapons. It's very, very basic, but it's just fun. It's just like a level's like, 20 minutes worth of fun. It's like you don't want to watch a full 45-minute episode of something. You watch the 20-minute Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's the Brooklyn Nine-Nine of video games.
That's a quote, that is. They need to use that. We'll contact them. But yeah, I think Nicola's reviewing that at the minute. So, I mean, people are able to read more on that. But yeah, it does look really cool. It's one of those little kind of cool indie games that got announced. What else?
What else, indeed?
But there's another PSVR game that I never got to really talk about much, which I've reviewed recently, and that's Everybody's Golf VR.
Oh, yeah. I've played Everybody's Golf. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, me and my wife play Everybody's Golf pretty much, I would say, not so much anymore in the last 6 months, but we used to play it every night since it came out.
No
way. And we were pretty obsessed, and we had a lot of fun with it. And this, like, there's not a lot of courses, and the modes are pretty streamlined, but the actual act of playing golf is quite advanced for VR. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. So you change your height so that it fits your you know, it makes it like realistic. So when you are holding the PS Move as the club, the club isn't like sunk into the ground, like it's the correct height and stuff like that. And then you can kind of take your practice shot, and it's got, I think it's, what is it called? It's like a dress and practice. So in practice, you can kind of sweep the ball and practice where you're going to hit it and practice the speed of it. And then you've got the address where you actually take your shot. And it's very sensitive, but it's also very kind of realistic in it. There's a lot that kind of makes it a great little game. And the fact that there's not a lot of modes doesn't help. And once you've kind of played the main course, you're very unlikely to kind of keep playing. Like if it had the different courses from everybody's golf in there, that'd be great. Yeah. But then I haven't made the game. I don't know how difficult that is. So
you think they'll give you DLC, that kind of stuff?
I think so. I think it warrants some good, like if it had some good DLC, then I'd keep playing it. But it's also,
you love a bit of VR, don't you?
I do. Yeah. And I remember when it first came out and I wasn't like that starstruck on it. And then I started to play, I think it was Firewall Zero Hour, which is,
that's such a game name, isn't it?
It is, man. And I think you'd love it because it's like, it's first person and it's, you use your controller and it's fully maneuverable. So there's no transporting or teleporting to different points. It's you move around like you would in Call of Duty or Rainbow Six. And the kind of, what you're supposed to do is there's different like levels. So there's one in a warehouse, there's one in a tower block, there's one in like a business complex. And there's one team which are trying to defend this laptop where you're uploading this important information. And then the other team that come in try and kill whoever's protecting it and hack it. So I remember going in with this guy, this American guy who was like really over the top. And this, but then it was kind of juxtaposed by this guy from like Birmingham who was like dead solemn. It was a weird team, but we went into this apartment block and it was just, there's a lot of tactics involved. So it's like playing Rainbow Six where
nice.
We were trying to take it out each room in this, on this level individually, and they weren't there. And when we kind of isolated it down to this one room in the middle, and we both burst through the doors on each end and took him out. And it was just very satisfying. But yeah, VR's come a long way.
FPS in VR, but I have played Minecraft in VR, and the spider dropped down on me. I shit myself. Is an FPS that bad? Is it? How does it feel?
It feels really good. Like
immersive.
Yeah, it does. And I think there's a lot of VR games that are, like there was one by Supermassive, and I can't remember what it was, but it was terrible. And it was like a first-person shooter, but you didn't move towards where you wanted to go. It like teleported you. So when you're like trying to take out four or five enemies who are like hiding behind these trucks or walls and stuff, you're teleporting behind different like car windows or like boxes of ammo, and it just completely takes you out of it for a second, because then you like you're put back into the game, but your surroundings are completely different and you feel very out of the loop. It's like, I think Firewall Zero Hour gets it spot on, like especially for the PSVR, and same with Blood and Truth, like the recent game that was released, the kind of Cockney gangster game, which was really good as well. And even though you didn't move freely in that, you click where you wanted to go, but you move quite fluidly, so it felt like you weren't really doing it all. So there are ways on the PSVR that, you know, that like first person shooters that are working, but I think there's still a bit of work to do. But
yeah, movement is the issue, isn't it, at the moment?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I would love to try the Oculus Rift at some point, you know, because that's where it's at.
You can try it out for a bit.
Yeah, that'd be ace, man. Because I think the Oculus Rift's the kind of the better one on the market at the minute. But as I say, I think when the PS5 finally gets announced, it'll be interesting to see whether they finally release the wireless headset, because that's the most annoying thing about the VR for me is the amount of setting up it takes, and
yes,
the different cables, and then you've only got, you're restricted in where you can stand because the cable's tugging at your head. So you're like,
it feels early days, doesn't it? It reminds me of like,
yeah,
when my dad had his, I don't know what it was, a Commodore or something, but to play a video game, he had to set it up, plug the cassette player in, get all the cables plugged in, and it's just a hassle. Who can be bothered with that?
Yeah,
but we've got a way to go yet.
I think you know, over the next two generations, we'll see massive improvements with VR. And I really hope they stick with it. I hope it's not a fad. And then they kind of, like the Vita.
It's not 3D.
Not that the Vita was a fad, but it was never successful. So they just gradually started making games for it less and less. And it always seemed to be like indie games or like Japanese RPGs that came out on it. VR, hopefully down the line, we'll see a big improvement. But anything else, Cal, have you been playing? I see you've been playing Gears 4 for a bit. You mentioned that earlier. And you're on Chapter 2, take it, you're enjoying it.
Yeah, I am. I was a bit worried, you know, new development team and stuff like that. But they've done fine with it. It's great fun. I want to try some multiplayer because I've only been playing the story. But I don't think it's a spoiler at this stage, is it? Spoiler,
oh no! Alert. Yeah,
I've just met Marcus and gone out fighting with him, and that's nice.
Oh, a bit, man, of a throwback. It's so cool. Yeah, it's such
nostalgia.
And there's a lot of that in there. I think you'll love it.
I'm not too keen on the new guns, but when you get the old ones back, it's like, okay, yes, now I know what I'm doing.
I'm the same. As soon as you get that Lancer back, you're like, yes, I'm in my element.
The proper sniper. What is that new sniper, right? Oh my gosh.
Oh, I know.
It's a terrible gun.
It's dodgy, isn't it?
But I love the old, I can't remember what the old one's called now, but I love the old sniper rifle.
Yeah. That's kind of it. It's been a quiet week, really, but hopefully next week we'll have a few more. But we've got some listener correspondence. Thank you, Thomas, again, at LlamaFluff42, for being our source of questions.
Legend.
Yeah, you're a legend. So first question, following Mick Fraser's shocking vlog, he got me thinking, would you ever contemplate buying a second-hand Switch?
Why second-hand?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I have a Switch. I love my Switch. I recently I kind of hacked it. I did some homebrew on it.
Yeah.
And that is fun. It's like a little computer now. Apparently you can get Linux running on it, and I'm going to try all kinds of stuff on there.
Yeah.
I love a little portable device like that. But just having almost current-gen console that is portable is fantastic. Being able to take games like Mortal Kombat out with you.
Yeah. I mean, the kind of get as well, the games coming out, like this Switch, like the Nintendo Switch, is something really special. And the fact that we've got these new announcements of games coming out, like they're really branching out. And I think after the Wii U, it was a worry, and but I think this is completely,
this is what the Wii U was supposed to be. I remember me and Adam said on this podcast years ago, like, what the Wii U should be, because he was moaning he couldn't take it on the shitter with him. I'm like, this is what it should be. It's the you take it away from the main console, you take it out with you as like a DS. And I think they must have listened to God Is a Geek podcast, and then they did it with the Switch.
Yeah. I'm always a bit, I don't think I've ever bought a second-hand console over the last 10 years, just because they're very delicate. So I wouldn't want someone to have, bought their Switch brand new, broken it, got it fixed in some dodgy hardware shop, and then it worked, and then someone sells it on, and then I don't trust anyone.
The moment I unboxed my original Switch, it broke. It didn't break. I put it in the dock and it scratched the screen. Remember that bug?
Feature.
I sent it straight back and they sent me a new one, but I was pissed.
I'd be pissed,
I have bought secondhand consoles before. Would I buy a secondhand Switch? I don't know. If one was going cheap and I didn't have one at the time, maybe. Yeah, I'm not against the idea.
Yeah.
But maybe you could get some games with it as well, because obviously you know how Nintendo are. Once it's installed on the console, it's installed on that console.
Yeah. I mean, one of my mates bought a secondhand Switch of it, actually, off someone, and he got it for £300 with like Mario Odyssey, Breath of the Wild.
£300's quite pricey, isn't it, for a second-hand device?
I don't know, because he ended up getting about 6 or 7 games.
Okay.
And I'm talking like the best kind of games, like Mario Kart was there, and as I said, Zelda and Odyssey. But I mean, they don't reduce games, do they, really? So I guess if £300 won't too bad, because you won't be able to get that for much cheaper than £500. Anyway, another question. So with 18 months of current gen to go, do you think console price cuts are in order for Xbox and PlayStation?
are in order? I would say no. As in, I don't think they need to do it. But will they? Probably yes. Not this year. Next year, we'll see some price cuts.
Yeah.
I think both consoles are doing amazingly well right now. They don't even need to bring out the next console next year. I think they could have held off another couple of years.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there does seem to be a feeling, more with the PlayStation, that it feels like it's coming to the end of its life cycle. And right. I think with like The Last of Us, just because like when the PS3 kind of died out, that was like their last swan song, wasn't it, really?
Yeah,
that and
yeah.
Like Grand Theft Auto.
What a swan song.
Oh yeah. Like and I think with Last of Us 2 it might be a similar fashion. Like they might release that and then PS5 comes out 6-7 months later and then it gets remastered again and brought on PS5.
Yes, yes.
And I'll play it again.
Exactly, won't we all? I remember doing that with GTA. I played it on the bloody 360. I think I played it on the PS3 as well. And then the new consoles came out, got it on the new consoles and on the PC. Bloody remasters and re-releases.
With Grand Theft Auto 5, I had it on the PS3 and then I got to a point where I couldn't get past the level. I still to this day don't know what it was. But it was like
what a noob.
A bug or something. I don't know. And then got the PS4 and my daughter, who was about one and
she
a half.
She was age appropriate, surely.
Well, no, not to play, but she basically somehow, because I didn't have security settings on the PlayStation store, she'd logged on to my PS4. And I think because Grand Theft Auto 5 was out, it was like on the home screen. So she managed to get on it, click buy now and buy it.
No.
So she bought the game, and like I remember, like my wife phoned me and was like, "Your daughter's just bought GTA 5. Well, like you need to phone them." And inside I was like, "Oh man, I don't want to phone them. I want it." And then when I phoned them, and they were like, "Unfortunately, we can't do refunds." And I was just like, "Oh no, sorry,
oh, well.
sorry, Lauren, but we can't get rid of it. Like I'm just gonna have to play it." And then I played it through solidly and completed it, and it was like just amazing game that is. So. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, thanks for that, Tom. One more question. So you're in charge of Walkers for a day. What new crisp flavour do you introduce?
Interesting. I saw someone tweeting about this, about Brussels sprouts flavour. I'd back that.
I'd be up for that. I think they're one of the finest parts of a Christmas dinner.
Oh, God, yes. Thank you, Chris.
Oh,
they're
mate,
lovely.
A bit of butter, a bit of bacon in there.
Yes, and maybe some chestnuts as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thinking about Christmas dinner already. But
tell
me
about it.
Flavors. What hasn't been done? Because I'm trying to think of something that hasn't been done. Because I just.
What do you normally go with?
What do I normally go with? Prawn cocktail.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty standard, I think. Prawn cocktail or cheese and onion are my go-to.
Right.
I used to love Worcester sauce.
That's interesting. I don't know anyone who loves that.
Yeah, and then they did like, I don't know if they've done it for years, but they did like just a cheese flavour.
Yes, I've seen that.
A yellow pack. They were nice back in the day.
Yeah, they were good.
Maybe
chicken.
Chicken's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if they did like a cheese line and they had different types of cheese. Because I know Adam likes a lot of cheese. And I think if we did like a Gouda flavour and a Red Leicester, bit of Brie. Yeah, I'd back that.
So, cheese board crisps.
Cheese board crisps?
Yeah.
Are you listening, Gary? Contact them. Get some money for it.
I wouldn't mind Chinese curry either.
Chinese curry?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, a bit of black bean sauce.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not? But, yeah, I mean, that's a podcast. So, thank you everyone for listening. We do appreciate it. We do appreciate the section which I'm going to talk about very briefly, but it's very important to us, and that's the Patreons. So you can go and subscribe to our Patreons for as little as a dollar a month. And we say this every time, but it literally gets us to events and it helps us get the content that that you go and read. And there's a couple of events coming up very soon. One of which is incredible, and I'm massively excited because of what's there, and you're going to get to see all of that. So thank you for that. And you'll find out more over the next couple of weeks. And then as this goes live, I'll be in London covering something else. So it's your nice. Kind of money that's helping us do this. So I really appreciate it. And we do have a lot of videos that go out to subscribers, and we have early podcasts, like you'll be listening to this early, you'll be getting this. There's also like giveaways and stuff that are only exclusive to patrons. So it does mean a lot that you subscribe. So if you want to check out that Patreon page, go to patreon.com/godisgeek and you can find out more. You can also follow us all on Twitter. So if you go to godisgeek.com, you can watch the reviews, but go to @godisgeek on there. I'm @firstavenger83. Calvin, is it?
No, don't worry about me. Just follow @godisgeek. Yeah, you're fine.
Follow @godisgeek, yeah. Again, thank you all for listening. Calvin, thank you for joining me, mate. I appreciate
it. A pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
No worries, man. And everyone for listening, thank you very much. Take care, and we'll speak to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Cheers.